Thanks for joining us for episode 80 of the Zero to 60 podcast by LeafCars.com. I'm your host and local gearhead, Mark Arson. In this episode, we'll be talking with a young man who got his start in paved oval track racing at the age of 6 and a half. And in 2025, he and his parents have their sights set on a pretty lofty goal. Welcome to the Zero to 60 podcast in 3, 2, 1.
LeafCars.com, 0 to 60, with automotive journalist and radio host Mark Arson.
Now, if you go back and listen to episode 74 of 0 to 60, you'll hear our first talk with Paxton Cole from a little over a year ago. Paxton is the young driver of the number 46 Mosquito Authority Auto Park Chrysler Jeep Bandolero at Raleigh's Wake County Speedway. And Paxton, welcome to the podcast, buddy.
Thanks.
It's good to see you again.
You too.
Man, a lot has changed since we first met you and your dad, Brad, who we'll talk to you in just a bit. You guys brought your, what is it called? The NASCAR Youth Series midget car? Is that what it's called?
Quarter midget.
Quarter midget. You brought that out to Wake County Speedway in Raleigh for our LeafCars.com night. And you were generous enough to let the kids, the fans, the young fans come along and sit in your race car, and you talk to them about racing. And the goal at the time is that you guys were going to get yourself a Bandolero car, which is the smallest type of race car that you can race at Wake County Speedway. So how is your 2024 experience in doing that?
It was good, and it was also hard to race against the older kind of kids, but we ended up getting fifth at Wake County season points.
Brad, I'll bring you in for this. How many drivers?
I think there was a total of 27 that ran that year.
Yeah, over the course of the season, and I guess out of those 27, maybe, 18 or 20 were regulars. 1 week to the next.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, people come and go, but yeah, roughly.
But, the average race, I mean, you're out there against maybe 10 or 12 other drivers a lot of times, right?
Yeah, it's like 13, and there was 2 18-year-olds, I think, and I felt like they had a lot more experience than me.
Well, yeah, you got a little more seat time under their belts. How old are you now, Paxton?
I turned 10 in November 23rd.
Okay. We've got some other special guests. Coy Lovell, the general manager of Auto Park Chrysler Jeep, who is one of the sponsors of Paxton's Bandolero team. We have Carson Hayslip, who started off in Bandoleros and then became a national champion in the Legend Series car, which is the next step up. And he is currently mastering and pretty darn well the late model, the Leith Cars late model division. We're going to talk with Carson coming up. And Brad, just to be forthcoming here, you are a Leith employee. You work in what we call the admin building.
Correct. Yep. I'm one of the corporate controllers for these.
Which I don't know much about what goes on up there, but thank you for doing what you do. When we met last year, I don't even remember specifically how that conversation started, but I don't know. Maybe we bumped into each other out at the racetrack, but you offered to bring Paxton's youth quarter midget car out there, and then you guys were talking about Bandolero, and I'm sure I probably gave you the same advice of lots of other folks at the racetrack. Go see the Hayslip family.
Yeah, we definitely bumped into each other at Wake County, and we brought the quarter midget out, and that just kind of opened doors. I honestly saw Carson walking, I think with your girlfriend, same at the time, right? Phoenix Kimball. She was there, and I kind of pulled him over and talked to him a little bit about Paxton's car, and they were interested, and I just kind of was, curious, how do we get into the next level? So here we are. We lucked out to find a good crew.
Is that how it went, Carson?
That is exactly how it went. I like to talk to a lot of people at the racetrack, and when I see cars that are displayed, whether it's, the same type of car I drive, I always like to look at stuff. So I'm one of those kids you see in the store that are looking at every single toy and touching everything. So when I see a race car, it's like looking at 1,000 pounds of chocolate. So I love looking at race cars, and I was able to look at Paxton's, and the first thing I thought about those little quarter midgets are, man, like, it's super tight. And I think I asked him if I could fit in there, and he was like, yeah, maybe, probably not. I just thought it was cool, and, you know, I seen, you know, another young racer, and I think I told him, give my dad a call, give us a call, and, you know, here we are today, and he's done, you know, a phenomenal job this year. He's had a lot of success, and I hope that he has a lot more.
Yeah, you were his coach last season, right?
Yes, sir. So I always had a coach when I started out racing, and I feel like that was very valuable for where I am now. There's a lot of people that go out there, and they don't have the proper coaching, and, you know, they learn bad habits. I feel like I've always had the right mentors that have taught me, you know, how to do about everything on a track, even some things, you know, off the track. You know, there's a racing's a big mind game, and you have to always keep your composure. I feel like that's a big part of racing is, you know, having your mental state right. You can have a terrible car, and if you go out there and you're like, oh, we're going to do terrible, you probably will. But if you go out there and you have some hope, I feel like there's always, you know, a shot that you can go out there and do something that you didn't think you could.
Coy, I'm going to bring you into this. Again, Coy, Lovell is the general manager of Auto Park Chrysler Jeep in Cary. Coy, talk about your background in this sport of racing. You're not foreign to what goes on to build a race car and race, right?
No, I grew up in racing. I mean, since I was born, I grew up in the stands running around. My grandfather raced, and when I was old enough to start going to the pits. So I grew up in the stands and in the pits. Every year we spent my summers, you know, running around track to track all through Washington State and Oregon with my grandfather, local speedway primarily. We had a few guys make it out of there big time. One of the guys, Derek Cope, actually won the Daytona 500 1990, I believe. Him and my grandfather raced together, so I've watched him as a kid. And then he retired. I ended up going to the Marine Corps. And when I got out, I raced myself for a little while. Just always had a passion for it. Love racing. Still to this day, go to a lot of racetracks. And ended up meeting Bradley. Obviously, he started working with us a few years back and started just spending time at Wake County Speedway. And I just enjoy it. I love being around racing. It's one of those sports that just the sound and the smell and the feeling of racing just puts you at ease and at calm, and you can just spend countless amount of hours just listening to the race cars. It's just something I really cherish. I enjoy.
Yeah, Coy, and before we started, you know, the episode here, I was talking about the atmosphere. How would you compare family involvement in racing compared to some of the other team sports out there?
Well, it's funny that you say that. You know, we were talking about that a little bit earlier that. I grew up playing every sport as well. My wife played every sport. She coached pretty much every sport. I coached every sport, baseball, football, basketball. I mean, our kids from soccer when they were young, we've been on racing. Racing is one of those sports. I think the only thing I can compare it to is anybody that knows baseball. Like, you say a baseball mom or a baseball family, the whole family is involved. It's the one sport where everybody's involved, and racing is very similar to that, where it doesn't matter if mom's in the stands cheering and yelling and screaming, whether dad's in the shop all night, the son's in there. It's just the whole family's involved. And I don't know why it's so much similar to baseball in that way, but it's just one of those things that takes over the whole family. You are a racing family. It's not just a racing dad or a racing son. It's mom, brother, sister, cousin. You are a racing family if you're in racing, and baseball's like that. So those two sports remind me a lot of each other when it comes to involvement with the families.
And Carson, you can definitely vouch for that, right?
Absolutely. My sister's played softball, so, I mean, similar to baseball, obviously, but when my sister played softball, we were always at the ball field, always cheering on my sister, and vice versa. When I was racing, she was always there cheering on me, and it's always been a family thing, and I feel like our family's been great at that. They've always supported, you know, me and my sister and just about every sport we've done. And I do love the family involvement, and I feel like it always brings you closer. And, you know, you can always cherish those memories, whether they're good or bad. And that's why I'd like, you know, the family involvement in racing and, you know, softball, baseball, whatever sport.
Yeah, and Brad, I'm going to go back to you and then Paxton, be ready, because I've got a couple of questions for you. as we circle around the table here in the 0-60 podcast, talk a little short track racing. Brad, how did you guys get involved? You and the wife, how did you decide, you know, well, he could play soccer. Maybe he could play football. That's kind of rough. You need helmets.
Yeah.
But you chose racing.
It was kind of a fluke thing. You know, I've always been a car guy, you know, kind of always spent my career in car dealerships. Always been like a guy to have cool cars and own cool cars. Never got the opportunity to race myself, but Paxton, he was just playing video games once. He just asked a question like, how old do I have to be to drive a race car? And it just happened to be that we, you know, thankfully Google exists, and we just looked up and saw how old he had to be. And he was 6 at the time, and our local dirt quarter midget track was having like an arrive and drive event. So you could go pay $20 and turn 10 laps on borrowed equipment and borrowed cars. And we did it, and that was basically 4 years ago almost now. So here we are. So it was one of those things he just asked, and it just fell into our laps.
Paxton, turning back to you, bud, and I probably asked you this question the first time we met. I know at least the track that you guys attended a lot in North Carolina, it's towards the Charlotte area, right?
Yeah, it's up in Salisbury.
Yeah. I don't know how it is for the other, you know, tracks that the kids race on, but that one is completely flat. Right.
There's a smidge of banking. Most of them are flat. I mean,
yeah.
a lot of the national events for the NASCAR youth kind of bigger events are running literally parking lots.
Yeah.
They just cone off asphalt parking lots.
And Carson, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I believe Wake County Speedway in the corners is 7 degrees banking.
It is. It's. I mean, there's banking, but it's not as banked as, you know, like a big track like Southern National. And I feel like that brings, you know, Wake County a lot of character. You can kind of race on both sides, it's super tight. And I feel like that's why, you know, there's always stands full at Wake County Speedway. They love the tight racing, and, you know, sometimes people do get tangled together, but I think the racing there is, you know, by far better than a lot of other places.
Yeah, so Paxton, the reason I bring this up, and like I said, this is a follow-up to going from the quarter midget on a relatively flat track to a track that is 7 degrees banking in the corners. I don't know what the front and back stretch are, but there's a little bit of banking at Wake County Speedway. Certainly at Southern National, which is a 3/8 mile racetrack, has a lot of banking in the corners and on the front and back stretch. How was it going from that flat track to a banked track and in a more powerful race car, the Bandolero?
The banking was weird because, like, especially when you're sitting there under a red flag, you just feel like your car is going to flip over and, like, roll down the track, and you just have to hold the brake there. And the cars, they don't have as much, like, torque because they don't accelerate as fast, but they feel a lot faster once you get up to speed.
How about Wake County being a what they call a bull ring, and the nickname for the track is America's Favorite Bull Ring, because you've got those concrete walls. It's tight confines, and you've got an inside wall that wraps around the track to protect everybody in the infield, the pit area, and then you've got the concrete wall on the outside. There are no NASCAR safer barriers at these short tracks. Does that enter your mind at all as you're racing around this track and then maybe something lets loose and, oh, I don't want to hit the wall? What do you do?
I usually just try to lift, and if that doesn't work, just like tap the brakes a few times and turn the steering wheel down to the bottom-ish of the track.
And Brad, to me, to the fans, I was up on the deck of the tower. It's during that Cars Tour race, and you guys were part of the undercard. That's when he had that wreck on the front stretch,
yeah.
And I think the back flew off, and you know you're standing there. You can't go on the track as a parent. The safety crew does a great job getting out there, but I don't know, man. What goes through your mind?
Yeah, I mean that one was a tough one. You know, that was that Cars Tour wreck. That was the hardest one for the year. We ended up that car was junk. You know, the chassis was the clip was bent in the front and the back. And you're right, you're not supposed to go down there, but I did sneak down there since we're there enough to the safety crew kind of knows us, and they let me down eventually. But I mean, they're tough little cars. I mean, he was safe, and I mean, I think he had a bruise or two, but. You know, it was hard to watch. I mean, it's hard to see. We had, you know, going back to our quarter midget days, you could just jump the fence and run out there. Versus here, you're really trusting the safety crew to, you know, check on them, and you know, you're really just watching from behind the fence. So it's different.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hope you stay safe in 2025, buddy.
Thank you. And about that wreck, the action from the Cars Tour definitely made up for it.
There you go. That's an endorsement right there. I guess, Carson, that's probably something that you've had to coach Paxton on what to do in certain situations, right?
Absolutely. The Bandoleros are super, you know, small a car. You know, if you hit with the back, it's going to be super expensive. If you hit with the front, it could be expensive, but it's honestly going to be a lot cheaper most of the time. And that was something that, you know, I always had to learn in the Bandos, is my dad would always tell me, you know, if there's a wreck in front of you and you know you're not going to make it out of it, you might just have to drive into it. You know, if you spin out, you're gonna at least, if you hit the rear tires, you're gonna bend the axle, and they're just fragile. And you know, there's a lot more components in the back than there is the front. I feel like with the front, you know, if you hit, you're gonna have some cosmetic damage, and you know, maybe some front alignment rod, stuff like that. And I just feel like that's a big thing that, you know, a lot of people don't really learn. And I feel like, you know, that is something that needs to be taught to a lot of kids, is, you know, sometimes it's your first instinct when you see a wreck to just slam the brakes, and that's the biggest thing to get over in a Bandolero. At least when I raced it, is getting through the wrecks. You know, you're not trained to get through wrecks. You're trained to go out there and run your fastest laps and win races. You're not trained to miss and avoid wrecks. And I feel like that's something you do have to learn, is, you know, conserving your car. You might go and hit a wreck and keep going, but, you know, most of the time, if you hit with the rear end, your race is done. So sometimes, you know, if you are going to hit the wall, sometimes it's better to just maybe tap it rather than locking up the brakes, hitting it with the rear tires, hitting it, you know, square up. You could bend a clip. There's just a lot more stuff in the back that can get more expensive than the front end.
And, you know, Brad, I don't want you to go into too much specificity, but just talking ballpark, you know, your investment in Paxton and, you know, trying to build something out of, you know, a burgeoning racing career, maybe beyond a hobby. I've heard the cost of what it takes to be competitive in a legend car. And the legend cars and these Bandoleros are part of an organization that's an acronym for inexpensive,
right?
Racing,
yeah. I don't think there's such thing.
INEX. So, ballpark, roughly, what is that car? Ballpark.
To buy a car, you know, I'd say roughly $10,000 is what you're looking at to get into a relatively new car or a new car, and have it ready to get on the track. You know, the biggest challenge, you know, like you kind of mentioned, is it a hobby or is it something you're kind of really trying to do? And if it's just a hobby and it's just something that replaces, you know, baseball for your kid or soccer for your kid, you know, I think you can get through pretty unscathed. I mean, just like Carson was mentioning, you know, the wrecks can get expensive at this young age. I mean, mistakes are going to happen and unavoidable things are going to happen. You put a bunch of kids on a racetrack going, I don't know, 65 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour, and things are going to go wrong. But you know, so a family like us, like, we're pretty committed to this is what he wants to do. You know, Paxton wants to be a race car driver, so we don't halfway do much anything.
Yeah, no, there's no halfway if you want to be successful. And Coy, I know you definitely understand all of that, and, you know, that's why it's pretty darn cool that you've gotten your dealership, Auto Park Chrysler Jeep, you know, as a co-sponsor of Paxton's car.
I guess to speak on expenses, I remember when I raced, I don't care if it was $50 to $1,000, anything I could get anywhere, it adds up, because every piece on that car costs money. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. You can't use very many things over and over and over. You got to replace through a season just about every part on that eventually. I enjoy it so much now that I have someone to pull for, because before I would go in and you kind of get used to seeing people. But once I started seeing Paxton race, I have someone that I know his family, his father. I think it's more enjoyable when you know somebody and you can pull for them. It's not like NASCAR and TV where you have a guy that you've never met and you really pull for. When you actually know someone, it's just so much more enjoyable. Just the more people that I meet, the more enjoyable it is, because you know you have a face on not just a car and a number. You have a face of who's inside driving it.
And, you know, Brad and Paxton, you guys have a great-looking race car, and it's actually based, I believe, was that your idea, Paxton? It's based on whose car?
It's Cole Trickles from the movie Days of Thunder. I actually think it was my dad's idea because my middle name is Cole, like Cole Trickle, and he also named me after a supercharger company.
Yeah, it's kind of a magenta and white.
Yeah, I mean, you can call it pink. That's what it
pink?
Is. I mean, so
yeah.
It's the current Bandolera is the Superflow car. And we talked about that, didn't we, Paxton? How, you know, he really wanted to run that one. He'd run the City Chevrolet car before, the Mellow Yellow car back in Quarter Midgets, and he wanted to do the Superflow. And I was like, I don't know. Are you sure? You know, it's pink. Are you good with that? And honestly, I think it was the best decision we ever made. Like that car gets looks. Everywhere
stands,
you know,
out.
People comment on it. I mean, at the Thanksgiving Classic, he got interviewed for, you know, his finish there, and Racing America mentioned it, you know.
So
it's just a good looking car.
Yeah, it is. So let's move on to 2025 as we start to wrap up this episode. Paxton, I understand that you've got some pretty big plans that you've been cooking up with the leaders of your race team, mom and dad. Can you talk a little bit about what's coming up?
Yeah, I think we're trying to do a little bit of national points next year and a lot of traveling and running about 40 races, maybe 45, to be competitive. And there's a lot of kids out there that just, they're really good in these cars, and it's going to be hard to beat them next year.
But it'll make you a better driver as you compete against some of these folks outside of the immediate area and your home tracks, right?
Yeah, I think it definitely will.
There is not much of an off season. You just finished the big Southern National.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, there really isn't an off season. You know, we just joked about that with some people at the track. You know, Quarter Midgets had an off season, unless you chase some indoor racing. But we just ran that big event at the Classic, and we're actually going to run some road course racing. January, Onyx is running a series, two up at Dominion and two at Charlotte. So to practice for that, Paxton's been running some indoor karting series at Rush Hour here in Garner. And then we're going to go try this road course thing. So we get a break from this past weekend all the way through the first weekend in January, so about 1 month of an off season.
And then Wake County has moved their season way up. Instead of starting the first Friday in April, they are introducing a Bandolero and Legend series called the Bull Bash. So you guys will be competing in that in February, right?
Right, yeah, correct. Yeah, we're really looking forward to that event. I mean, for us to, you know, be one of the only Bandit drivers in the Bandolero, you know, the younger kids that ran a full season at Wake County, we're really really excited, really, you know, looking forward to see what Paxton can do there.
All right, and Carson, you've got some big aspirations for next season, too, coming off a darn good, successful second-place running for points at Wake County Speedway in the late model, and, you know, you got a taste of the Cars Tour at Wake County, but you also took it up to South Boston during the season, right? So what's coming up next year?
Next year, I'd love to, you know, compete in various Cars Tour events, especially Wake County Speedway. That's my home track, and, you know, that's where I learned how to race. So Wake County Speedway, I'd like to run, you know, their weekly series as much as I can, just to gain more seat time. And I'd like to venture out to, you know, other tracks, and there's different strategies you have to learn for other tracks. And I feel like the more you learn, the better a driver it'll make you. So I'd like to venture out, definitely run, you know, some of those Cars Tour races, and, you know, depending on funding, I like to run some big races like the Triple Crown Series, and, you know, just big races where, you know, you see all the big names. And, you know, I feel like the main series of that is the Cars Tour, but you're going to have some bigger races here and there that, you know, have huge names like your Dale Earnhardt Jr. and, you know, just various NASCAR drivers. But I'd like to compete at Wake County Speedway for the points, you know, as much as I can. I'd also just like to compete at those Cars Tour events. I'm not completely sure on which ones yet. I feel like it'll kind of depend on the funding, but 100% the Wake County race. We had a very successful time with the Cars Tour this year at Wake County. We qualified second, and, you know, I wasn't sure how those Cars Tour guys raced. It was my first time racing with them, and, you know, they did some beating and banging, and I wasn't really expecting it, and I kind of fell back on the outside, and we were able to work our way back up to seventh, and then we went to South Boston a few weeks later just because, you know, I learned so much in that race, and it was super valuable. The next week I went back to Wake County and I won. So I just feel like, you know, the more I venture out, the better the driver it makes me. The more I learn, and, you know, you got to learn to lose to win. So I feel like we've had a really successful year this year, and, you know, I look forward to next year.
Well, Carson, it's been a pleasure for me to watch you, you know, grow as a young man and driver at Wake County Speedway. What you did in the Legend car was you know, something else. And then, bam, you get into late model, and, you know, you're running with Clay Jones and Daniel Von Cannon and, you know, the Doug Barnes and, you know, whatever racetrack you're going to, right? I would be remiss, Paxton, if I did not ask you this question. How was it in your Bandolero season racing at Wake County Speedway against the son of NASCAR champion Kyle Busch, Brexton Busch?
Yeah, it was hard competing with him because he doesn't really care if he messes up a car. He's very aggressive and fast.
Yeah, he was fast.
And we kept up with him some races, and some races we didn't.
Yeah, some of you didn't, but you know what? Overall, the field of local home track Bandolero drivers in your division in Wake County, you guys did not make it easy for him, and it took, you know, quite a few races before he got his first win out there. So we'll see if he's got the gusto to come back next year.
Yeah. Isn't he running Legends next year?
Yeah, I've heard the plan is for him to run Legends. I'm not sure, but
yeah, that makes sense. And he's what? He's like 10.
Yeah, he's Paxton's age.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
funny. They he might be 9 right now, but
nine now.
They were definitely the two young kids at the track, you know. So they hung out some, but you know, Paxton's a little shy of him, and but they were very friendly once they, you know, kind of started speaking.
Well, Paxton, good luck to you in 2025 and running for points nationally or here in North Carolina. I mean, you might pick up that title, right? Carson, definitely good luck to you. And, you know, I guess you guys are, you know, working on title sponsors and so forth as drivers do in the offseason. Coy Lovell, general manager at Auto Park Chrysler Jeep in Cary, besides moving metal, here in the Cary Auto Park, you will see Coy just about every Friday night at Wake County Speedway, and there's a good chance he might have some Jeep swag for you. I want to thank you for listening to the 0 to 60 podcast. Please follow us on our social channels. I'm Mark Carson, and be sure to visit our website, LeithCars.com, and find us on TikTok at Leith Cars Motorsports. Thanks, guys.
0 to 60 is a production of LeithCars.com. Like us on Facebook at Leith Cars.
The copyright in this podcast and its contents belongs to Leith Incorporated.